Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
And good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk broadcast. We're brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. By Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, right around the corner here at Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And by Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Joining us today is Dr. Roosevelt Daniel. He is based here out of the North Central Medical Center on Saluda Street in Rock Hill. And this is Men's Health Month, and he's going to lecture me for the next 30 minutes on why I need to take better care of myself. And it's a lecture that's warranted, so, I mean, in your defense, doctor, but before we get swinging too much, you've told me all about you, but it's time to tell the listeners a little bit about Dr. Roosevelt Daniel.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me this afternoon, and it's good to be here to talk about men's health. So I am what you call an internal medicine and pediatric physician. I take care of adults and children. I'm originally from Alabama, which is my home, which is where my father's from. Went to school at the University of Alabama, Birmingham Medical School. And after that, went to East Carolina out in Greenville, did my residency training, and then came to work in Bishopville, South Carolina. And about 6 years ago, the family and I moved to Rock Hill. I spent about 6 years working at Piedmont Medical Center. In the last year and a half, I've been working at North Central Family Medicine. So my job, I feel, is more of a community medicine physician, just trying to help people take better care of themselves and giving them medicine if they need it and when they need it.
You're a good old-fashioned country doctor. Is that what you're trying to sell me?
Yes, sir. All day, every day.
I believe it. I got a good manner about you. Great turn. Well, let's talk about Men's Health Month. I never knew there was such a thing.
Correct. I think every month is covered by some type of health topic, but Men's Health Month in particular is a really useful month because I think it's a time of the year when people are out, they're more active, and believe it or not, some of our habits that we shouldn't have kind of pick up between barbecues and just being outside and not really taking care of ourselves. This is a good time to remember, guys, that our life expectancy is a little shorter, but mostly because of our habits.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of these habits that are good habits to lose?
So
I'm going to follow that up with how difficult is it to lose these habits?
Right. So in any patient or any person, when you look at what your health consists of, you already, when you start to look, so let's say today, you're looking at your health. Whatever your age is, you're looking back at what things have happened to you in the past medically and what things have happened in your family, not necessarily because they're predestined, but because sometimes we see patterns of behavior that repeat themselves. So you look at your family history, your personal history, and say, are there things that I'm doing that are probably going to make me less healthy? And if the answer is yes, I suggest you write a list of those down and start to knock those off one by one. The biggest one by far is just a very poor diet. In America, we have a horrible diet of lots of processed foods, too much sugar, too much fat, too much animal protein, and not enough vegetables. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's a good start. So I tell my patients very commonly, if you can find three things that you know you shouldn't eat based on what your grandmama would tell you, start knocking them off one at a time. We'll get to that just a little bit deeper later in the talk. The second thing by far is tobacco use. Here in the Carolinas, we love our tobacco, but it is absolutely positively killing us. And most people don't understand heart disease is probably what kills smokers more than anything. And that's the thing to be most worried about. So obviously, if you're smoking, trying to stop that. Now, I also don't want to oversimplify that because smoking is probably one of the most ritualistic habits that humans have, which is what makes it so very complicated to get past. It's not just the nicotine. It's the type of cigarettes that people prefer to smoke, their brand, their favorite lighter, their favorite place to smoke, their favorite place to put their cigarettes. All of these behaviors reinforce that feeling that people get when they smoke, which makes it much harder for them to stop smoking. And thirdly, I would say not having enough physical activity. By far, that's one of the things I think that's easiest to start, probably easier than changing your diet and stopping smoking, but trying to be more active and understanding how much activity we need to have to stay healthy.
how much activity do we need to have to stay healthy?
Good that you asked. So we recommend 150 minutes of what we call moderate aerobic activity. So what does that mean? Per week, sorry, not 150 minutes per day, 150 minutes per week, 5 days a week. What does that mean? Typically things like walking or physical activity that you enjoy that doesn't get your heart rate up too high. Now, I will leave the heart rate zones to some of my physical trainer colleagues, but picking an activity that you enjoy to do 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week is a really good start. And as we age, adding resistance training to that. Now, as guys, we like the resistance training. You know, you want to get in there and get in the gym and show people what you're doing as far as your strength is concerned. But you have to have the aerobic capacity to continue to live. If you think about your heart and your lungs, the two most important organ systems that you can have to try to live a long, healthy life, the aerobic activity is what fixes that.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it can be just something as simple as walking laps, so to speak, around the...
Yes. As a matter of fact, 30 minutes of walking has the same type of cardiovascular benefits as 30 minutes of running, but it also has a much lower chance of you having injury or other side effects. So the one of the tricks to exercise is doing something at a moderate pace that you can continue to do. It doesn't do you any good to go out and walk 5 miles if you've never done it, and you're not going to be able to walk for the next 2 days.
Yeah, so. That's a great point. I've seen numerous people go into gyms and that sort of thing, and they start banging the metal and the irons and pumping it and all that, and the next day, Tom, why can't you bend over? Why can't you stay? Raise your hand, Tom. Huh? Yeah. You can't, because they burn the mud. They literally burn the muscles.
Yes. Yeah, and every January we see that phenomenon. People have New Year's resolutions, and for the first 2 months, the gyms are packed. And after those next 2 months, the doctor's offices are packed with injuries from overuse or too much use. So just trying to be sensible about it and make sure that it's something that you enjoy, because otherwise it's going to be hard to do consistently.
Now, as the older we get, the body obviously changes, okay?
Yes.
I can't do the stuff now at 65 that I did at 45 or especially at 25. I was very athletic at 25, okay? But then, you start working and living and all that, and you become less athletic and so forth, and, you get rusty. And, I swung a baseball bat the other week, and I thought I was going to die, I couldn't believe it,
Yeah.
My buttocks, there was pain there, and my lower back, and I thought, oh, my God, all I did was swing a bat. And I didn't even swing at a pitch. I just swung a bat, because it felt good in my hands. I remember that feeling,
Yeah.
We never lose that. It's like the smell of a glove,
Exactly.
You always love that.
Yeah.
And I swung a bat, and I thought, oh, my Lord, what? How did I get old and in the weight so quick?
Time.
Time, okay.
And there's only one alternative to getting old that
and
we know of.
By, yes.
right. So it's good that you bring that point up, because one of the other important things is when we're trying to be more physically active, as we become, I think the term is called master athletes, and I'm not sure which age that is. I want to say it's 40, but meaning that we're older athletes. That's what that means.
Right, that's exactly what that means.
Yeah, trying to make sure that you spend more time warming up and always, always, always have a cool down after your exercise, especially if you're doing resistance training or lifting weights. If you do not stretch afterwards, you are asking for trouble when you wake up from your workout. Yeah, because after you've worked the muscles, in particular, you're building up different byproducts of just the actual activity. Lactic acid is one of them, and if you don't stretch those muscles, they eventually will shorten, and you just get to the point where you're not going to be as effective your next workout.
Okay.
Anybody who's been to an athletic event, you see people, athletes that are in the prime of their life, that warm up at least 30 minutes before, and these are primed athletes. These are people who exercise for a living. But as we age, we're just deciding not to be as focused on warming up and cooling down after we exercise when we do. But we should.
I do radio play-by-play for a college wood bat baseball team, and these guys are forever stretching and stuff before a game. And I've noticed it even after a game, but I never thought, well, they just must still be all hyped up. But actually, they're kind of doing the cool down there then, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, and that's preventing injury. Because really, after 30, 35, for a lot of us, exercise is really about preventing an injury. Whether that's disability from just not being able to do everyday activities, or just by being able to continue to do the active things that we enjoy.
It's like when you wake up and suddenly there's this pain in your back or your shoulders, you're thinking, what, did I turn wrong? And yeah, you probably did while you were sleeping, but I guess it's all linked and correlated then.
It is. It is. The body definitely needs more time to recover, and the best way to prep for that is a good cool down or good warm up before exercise and a good cool down afterwards.
Okay, guys like my age, we are from the clean your plate generation. And you telling me you're from Alabama, I know that
yes,
you heard you're not leaving that table, Roosevelt, until those peas are gone, pal.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll be handing them to you again for breakfast in the morning, or some such psychological tactic like that. You know,
right? Yeah,
you've heard them all. So, all right, I'm the clean your plate generation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in our generation, everything became instant, which was all these byproducts and things that you were talking about—the instant coffee, the instant oatmeal, the instant this, the instant that.
Yeah,
there's sugar in everything, it seems. You know, or at least everything that's good.
Right, 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 right. That's not by mistake. That's not by mistake. So I'll back up to your first point about being a member of the Clean Your Plate Club.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through an interesting development in the last 100 years. The amount of energy it took to make a plate of food for a family was a lot higher than it is now. So the thought was, we don't waste anything. But at the same time, our portion size was not... is much worse now than it was then.
Yeah.
And the understanding is, the other thing about Americans, I'll say this on the side, we love to celebrate everything with food and drink.
Sure.
And the more people I meet outside of the United States, they say, we do too. So,
okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot, we as humans, we like to celebrate with food. But that being said, we do eat way too much, way too often, and trying to understand that just because your brain tells you that you should get up and have that Oreo is not the same thing as actually being hungry because you need to eat. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the additives that you mentioned that are in the foods, part of that I think is marketing to make sure that things taste good so people keep buying them. But the other part of that is trying to put preservatives in food so they don't go bad.
All right.
Now, yeah,
I get
my
that.
Grandmother, if she ever, you know, she baked a cake or cookies, they put them under like this big 10-pound glass case or
yep,
cover.
Mine did too.
If you did not, by the next day, you could use those snacks for paperweights.
I mean,
so in order for it to stay moist and tasty, what do you have to do? You have to add things to it, different sodiums, different sugars, even things that we're not necessarily sure what they are added to those things. So we need to be careful about that.
You mentioned sodium. Let's mm-hmm. talk about salt. We
yes,
put
sir.
Salt in everything.
Yes, we do.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So actually, trying to make sure that you have less than 4 grams of sodium a day is probably a good goal. Now, how do you do that? The only way to really do that strictly is to start reading labels and being very careful about what you take in. Now, that is way easier said than done, because a lot of the sodium that we have in things, especially if you buy fast foods or foods that are not prepared by you, you're not sure of how much sodium's in there. But sodium holds on to water, which can increase blood pressure. And for some people who already have conditions like heart failure and diabetes, actually makes it harder for your body just to do its everyday normal processes.
Let's define what heart failure really is.
Okay.
Because I've known people that have been diagnosed with heart failure, okay,
mm-hmm.
and they're still around. They're still cooking, you know, and they were diagnosed with, I was diagnosed with that 20 years ago or whatever it was, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you truly are a blessed, lucky individual then, you know.
Correct.
Because those words scare the devil out of me, you know, because there's a history in my family, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, my dad, my youngest brother passed of heart, you know, died of heart failure, and he's like 4 years younger than I am, and,
wow.
you know, he didn't smoke, he didn't drink or any of this, and I'm thinking, you know, what's up with
happen?
This where,
yeah.
you know, his two older brothers mm-hmm. smoked, drank, you know, and you were talking about the diet, the middle brother, Phil, lives mm-hmm. out near Vegas. Phil was almost 300 pounds for a lot of years in his adulthood, and then he just suddenly went down to 180. And I said, well, Phil, how'd you do this? And he goes, well, it's very simple. When I'm not hungry, I don't eat. If I'm hungry, I'll eat till I'm not hungry, and then I stop.
Yeah.
And he dropped like a whole other human
being.
A whole person. And I thought, well, that, you know. So I started doing that, and yep, pounds started coming off.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I will tell you, heart failure, like a lot of medical conditions, starts off very mild and then can progress. So the definition of heart failure is the point at which your heart is not able to pump well enough to do the work or activity of your body. Mm-hmm. So the way that works is in two different ways. The heart pumps blood, but it also has to relax. So what we're starting to find out with looking at different ultrasounds of people's hearts, we find out that people who have high blood pressure, and there are a host of other illnesses that this can get started, they get to a point where their heart doesn't relax well.
Okay.
So when it doesn't relax well, the heart's kind of stiff, so the heart muscle says, okay, we're not relaxing well, we need to squeeze harder, squeeze harder, squeeze harder. Then at some point, the heart muscle will just say, you know what, I can't do this anymore, and the heart starts not to pump very well. So once it's gotten to the point where it can't relax well, and then it can't pump well, fluid starts to build up, people start to get short of breath, and they start to have symptoms. 30 years ago, the symptoms we saw were people who got short of breath with just minimal activity, huge swelling, the kind of heart failure that you and I think about.
Right.
But we're starting to see earlier signs of the heart not working well just in people who have high blood pressure or who have, you know, too much salt in their diet and those things. So there are some people who have heart failure, but it's not terrible heart failure, so they can live 20, 30 years. And there's some people, they have to have defibrillators and other devices that help their heart work, to the point of even a vest to help squeeze the heart. It just depends upon the cause of why that muscle started not to work as well.
Okay.
And just following from there to see. So there are different degrees of heart failure. That's the short way to say it. And to your point about only eating when you're hungry, that is probably one of the best pieces of advice that you could give anybody. Also, the thought that we need three meals a day, that came from the same people who sold us the food to have three meals a day.
Oh, yes.
So there are some people who actually do what's called intermittent fasting, where they pick a certain window of time during the day where they don't eat at all. And that has been shown to have a lot of benefits for blood sugar, as well as benefits for weight loss and mental alertness. And so we've seen a lot of good cholesterol going down. So intermittent fasting is another thing that I ask people to kind of look into. And what does that look like in the real world? Skipping a meal when you're not hungry.
Yeah,
you know, if you get up in the morning and have breakfast, it's 12 o'clock, you're like, hey, I should eat because it's 12 o'clock. That's not the signal you need.
Yeah, because I have insane hours, and anybody in morning radio does. You know, I'm at work at 4:30. So when people are getting up and you're having breakfast at 9, that's lunchtime to me, you know. And I usually don't eat until, like, well, after I leave here or later on, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's usually one meal a day. What can be said for that person?
Yeah. And honestly, for one meal a day, as long as you're not deciding it's an entire pizza or you're trying to make up for the calories of that day, one meal a day, a lot of cultures do that. As a matter of fact, in our culture at times, we've done that when there hasn't been food, you know, 6,000 calories every 15 minutes, which is what we can do now. Mm-hmm. So one meal a day is not a bad way to go. I would just caution people, if you have diabetes in particular, if you're taking medicines that lower your blood sugar, just talk to your doctor first before you start that. Say, hey, doc, tell me about this intermittent fasting. And then, or to say, hey, doc, how can I start decreasing the amount of food that I take? Should I be skipping meals? That's good advice. You can get good advice from your doctor about that.
That's a fact. Dr. Roosevelt Daniel is our guest this afternoon. We're going to take our mid-program break right now. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, here's where we put the pressure on the doctor. We broadcast from Substation 2 here in Rock Hill and Cherry Road. You've heard this before, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Right across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh subs and salads right before her very eyes, right there. Look at her. And the way they do that is very magically here on the count of three. One, two, three. Slice. Garden. Listen to the councilwoman. She knows. All right, back after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41066.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back into our Straight Talk program. We're joined today by Dr. Roosevelt Daniel, who is giving me more of an education in these 30 minutes that we have together than one I've had in years. Especially, and you're kind of scaring me a little bit too there, because when you went running down the heart failure thing and the diabetes and all that, well, and high blood pressure, I got the meds for all of it. I mean, it looks like a box of Skittles every morning when I get up, my friend.
Yeah.
But I listen to my guys, and except for that smoking thing, I'm doing everything else right. See?
Keep pushing.
That's the same reaction I get out of Dr. Pratap Singh, the cardiologist. Kind of like,
yeah.
In fact, one day he said, you know, I'm just going to put a cigarette machine in here, you know? I mean, it's great for business. And I'm like, what? Yeah. You give me these sermons, you know, and he said, well, you know, you're not listening. I'm like, look, it's not like I'm not listening. I've tried everything, Chantix, all of it, and nothing works. And then it occurs to me, I haven't got to that point yet where I've had that come-to-Jesus moment where I decided, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it because I'd like to try to live forever.
Well, I will, or live well, whatever time you have left.
Yeah.
That doesn't do you any good to live 20 years if you have to do it in a wheelchair. So, not saying that you're headed to a wheelchair.
I know that. I know that. You see me rolling down Saluda Street to your office now, right? Hey, you know. And you say, no, I didn't bring it on you. You brought it on you. And I tried to tell you.
Yep.
All right. It is Men's Health Month. And, of course, the importance of men taking care of themselves. I guess you could put it in one sentence. You still want to be alive?
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, really do. One of the things I think that we as guys are terrible at is preventive screening. So I have to bring that up. So what do we mean by preventive screening? Sometimes we have to look for things or we are let me back up. So the medical community, we recommend certain screenings to try to keep people away from complications of illnesses. What does that mean? So there are a lot of different ways to do that. One, going to your doctor, trying to see if you get screened for diabetes to see if you have it or if you're at risk for it. Same thing with cholesterol. And I will talk about at least three different kinds of cancers, two of which that we see affect men a lot more than women. So I'll start off by saying for colon cancer, making sure that you get your colonoscopy, the recommendation used to be at age 50, I think it's dropped down now to age 45. Now, if you have a risk of colon cancer in your family, you should be talking to your doctor about how soon you need to have a colonoscopy. And I say that it's a fairly simple test, but, you know, a doctor says every test is simple that they're not undergoing themselves at the time they say that, right?
Yeah, it's one thing to give the test as opposed to take the test. You're right. And then you should be doing that, what, every 5 years?
So it depends upon the results. So depending upon your results, if you have a normal colonoscopy, it could be as long as every 10 years.
No, that's something to work for.
So we've gotten, at least we feel better and fairly good at screening for colon cancer, removing polyps before people actually have cancer that they actually have to deal with. Now, the second screening that we recommend, and this particular may be of interest to you, and you talk to your doctor about it, for people who have smoked more than what we call 30 pack years, screening for lung cancer. So what does that entail? If you have had, let's say you smoke a pack of cigarettes every day for 30 years, that's a 30-pack year history. Okay. If you smoke two packs a day for 15 years, that's a 30-pack year history. What we recommend is what's called a CT scan, which is kind of like a 3D picture of your chest, to see if there's any areas of concern that would make us think that you would have lung cancer or be at risk for lung cancer. That's not just men, that's everybody. So that's the second screening. The third one, that's probably the most dreaded of all, is prostate cancer, and how do we screen for that? Right. So initially we had the thought, or that we had the practice of doing rectal exams to try to see what the size of the prostate was. It was the prostate, did it feel irregular, those type of things, and that was a rectal exam that nobody was ever excited about.
No, right. Not my idea of a good time. I mean, there's right. No dinner, there's no flowers, there's nothing ahead of time. But you got to do it. Got to do it. It's like the CT scan. My cardiologist does it once a year with me, and I just go see him every 6 months like I do my regular family doctor.
Yeah, and so trying to do that to get an idea of what your risk is for that cancer. And there's also blood tests and conversations as well that you need to have with your physician, because there's some symptoms that may give us the thought that there may be some issues with your prostate. You know, are you having trouble starting a urine stream, stopping a urine stream? Thinking you're finished urinating and you're not, waking up at night to go, just having the urge to go immediately and feeling like you're not going to make it to the restroom. These are things you need to talk to your doctor about so that you can have a conversation about what your risk is for prostate cancer so that you can try to address it early. And being afraid of it, I'll say this, being afraid of an illness doesn't make it present or absent in your life. So don't let fear keep you from being screened for it. What you're doing is you may be delaying something that you could be able to fix if you addressed it as soon as you could.
That's excellent advice right there in itself. Dr. Roosevelt Daniel is with us today. He is with the North Central, I said Medical Center earlier, but it's actually the North Central.
North Central Family Medical Center. We're down on Saluda Street, and we also have a site in Chester as well.
Okay, very good. Men's Health Month, guys. It's the importance of taking care of ourselves, and we can't make it any plainer. The doctor just explained it to me for the last 30 minutes like he would his six-year-old. And anything that I missed, Doc, along the way?
No. If you had to wrap it up, we all need to eat less, move more, and go talk to your doctor before you have troubles.
That's perfect right there, that in itself. And we still got two more minutes to the show. So anything else that you want to touch on here? I mean, it's important, you know. I mean, if you're not hungry, don't eat. Simple
yes,
as that.
Yes, and do understand that the people who want you to eat are the people who really sell you things they want you to eat. So just be careful, because the marketing in our culture has gotten us to the point where we are just pulling a trigger on habits that are terrible for us just because we're seeing those images. So just be careful. Eat when you're hungry. Don't eat when you're not. Oh, and as your grandmother always said, eat more vegetables.
We didn't
really get into that, but eat more vegetables. They can be medicinal to a degree, so make sure that you're getting your greens every day.
How so? In the final minute, I got it. Yeah. You know.
So in vegetables, and especially vegetables that are not processed, so fried okra doesn't count. Fried green tomatoes doesn't count.
Fried anything doesn't count.
Fried anything really doesn't count as far as vegetables are concerned. But vegetables also have micronutrients like magnesium and calcium and other things that help your body work better. On top of adding soluble fiber that can help keep you more regular, and the soluble fiber that help keep your intestines a little bit cleaner of the toxins that you take in. So all of these things that we grow from the ground naturally are way more beneficial than an Oreo, way more beneficial than animal protein that's been heavily processed. So I'd recommend at least half of your plate be vegetables at your largest meal during the day. And if you can eat vegetables, and to a lesser degree fruits, 4 to 6 times a day, that'd also be very helpful for you too.
Put you on the spot real quick. We're seeing a lot of this in advertising, this fruit and vegetable pills, the dehydrated stuff. What's you know, talk about your marketing, right? I mean, that's like nonstop.
Yeah, that is kind of a boutique marketing to say, oh, you want your vegetables? Take this pill. I can guarantee you a plate of collard greens or a plate of spinach or a plate of kale is way better than a pill of kale.
Okay.
You just won't get the same amount of benefits. That doesn't work at all.
I didn't think that it did. Doctor, we'll make that the last word. Well done. Dr. Roosevelt Daniel with us today. And it's Men's Health Month, and I know Manny Kimmel will have you back because he works out. He's in good shape, and you can work on him a little bit there. Straight Talk brought to you by our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Also, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast the program Monday through Friday here at Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, right across from Winthrop University. Fresh subs and salads are made right before your very eyes. The magical way is slice,
garden.
Matthew Cray will be here hosting tomorrow on Straight Talk. Have a great day, won't you?